Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Ann Wessel. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. I guess Seth is on a roll tonight.
Yes, we
Seth is partying down.
Oh, he's adorable. This is our radio guy, and he's just the best, and we love him. So, welcome to ET Healing tonight. I hope you all survived the chakra activation last week.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have never just perspired around my neck and nowhere else. It was the most bizarre thing, and I mean literally dripping. My little house was floating.
Oh.
It was very cool. So tonight, as a follow-up, we're doing Feminine Rage again.
Feminine Rage? Oh, boy.
Yeah. And with all of these energies and the eclipses and the solstice and the Grand Cardinal Cross, and it's rising up again, whether through lineage or the collective, we really do have an opportunity. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's optional this time. Although I'm sure there are people out there that, you know, will take their time to do it, but but in order to embrace and balance masculine feminine, it's absolutely necessary. And of course, along with that comes mothers, collective mothering, the goddess, all right, the powerlessness of the collective feminine through much of history. It's all kind of rising, and I look at it, and it's like this giant volcano coming up, and I'm thinking, oh, crap, here it comes. It's going to blow any minute. And so
you've got to find a nice way for it to blow.
Yes, I agree. Well, yeah, right. Show dedication to making it through these energies while we embrace all that really we really took on in this lifetime. And I, this dedication is for all of you. You're amazing and courageous beyond words. I look at all of you and all through this week and last week during the sessions, I've become aware of the levels of commitment that all of you have made to enter the earth realm and contribute in amazing ways to the ascension process and to reaching the tipping point that's necessary to assure that humanity will ascend as they are ready, because not everybody's going to do it at the same time. Okay,
that's probably just as well.
Yeah, and but also to be certain that these energies are in place to support it. And, you know, I'm more and more and more, they're showing me the bigger picture, the how all the pieces, you know, I always laugh about getting the 1,000-piece puzzle, but I didn't get the box top. You know, which has a picture on it. So I got all these freaking puzzle pieces, and I got to figure out how they all come together.
There's no edge either.
Yes, thank you. And so, no, there is no edge. Very good. That's a good one, Veronica. At any rate, as the veils are thinning and as we've been going through these lovely energies, I just really want to say it's wow, is it coming to a head?
It's faster than I thought it was ever going to be.
I absolutely agree with you, Ronnie. I really you know, we were told that from March through October was going to be the equivalent of about 12 years. I now believe it. I absolutely believe it, because at the end of the day, I am just whooped. I mean, really, truly, I feel like I've been run over several times by a car. And mainly because the intensity at which these energies are coming up and out through people, every time I do a session, it's like doing multiple sessions in one. It's not like just doing, you know, your requisite number of sessions per day. It's like every session is like, oh my God. Because all of you are such big souls, you've taken on so much that as we're doing these sessions, I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is why I said I honor everybody here so much, because I realize what everybody's taken on. And, Lord, I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts from Think With Your Heart, because they really grabbed me today. I hope you took a deep breath whilst your head was still above water, because we're definitely going under again, deep sea diving into the depth of our core self to make some final welds needed to fuse our two solar halves and our polar halves. This came out this afternoon, and I thought, boy, how appropriate is that? The lunar eclipse provided a massive opportunity to release some deep feelings of lack and unworthiness. We were given the chance to coddle those remaining loveless parts, which, unfortunately, meant revisiting some dark places in our past so that we could illuminate and reclaim those aspects of ourselves that we unknowingly left behind. This is all Lauren Gorgo, by the way. The Unseens have said to me many times that the second half of this year is a very physically focused one, and while I'm not completely sure what that means yet, I'm told that the solstice on 6/21 was a pivotal point with regard to our physicality. The second half of this year, we will be aligning our physical selves and lives with the spiritual, mental, and emotional bodies that we've been working with and clearing for the last several, years, which can sound scary and painful through the filter of post-traumatic stress, which most of us are clearly suffering from. But the Seven Sisters say this part of the ascension process is where the fun begins. She's got a big question mark there. Because we
what
get to create...
mean?
Yeah, right. Well, we get to create from a clean slate. And, you know, I'll comment on this in a minute. With our focus solely in the present and with our goopy past continually derailing... Without our goopy past continually derailing us. And, you know, I'm really fascinated because the stuff I'm going through over this next several months, God, whatever it is really taking me to a clean slate physically. And so I'm really fascinated by, you know, this was all kind of set up and everything was moved out in very interesting ways. I didn't understand why I had to wait so long to do this or that. Now I'm understanding why I could not have gone through this surgery with it. Had I scheduled it when I wanted to. I now know why they were very adamant about that. For those who carry the activated DNA, love will lead. For those who are still undergoing the changeover, love will be easier to attain. And for those who have yet to awaken, fear will be amplified until a higher way is entertained. Thought this was the Seven Sisters. Very interesting statement. Just one more, Archangel Metatron through Tiburon. The eclectic eclipse triad is a round release of aspects that do not serve you. It is around redefinition and purification, in case any of you didn't already know that.
Is that for tomorrow? Is that for tomorrow?
No. We've already gone through the solstice, which was also the ecliptic triad. 1st of June, 15th of June, 1st of July. Okay? The self-examinations that allow you to purge, the self-recognition of ego imbalances and imbalanced relationships and internal conflicts. Though but one eclipse remains in this triad on July 1st, the energy of all three are melded, and these are the instruments of your releases. So this last one is all of them combined. The solstice empowers you to do so and gives you that recharge. And the Cardinal Grand Cross, which happened during the solstice, will further support this purification. This Cardinal Grand Cross extends for 8 more weeks. I know.
Oh, good.
And it's a powerful time that can serve you far more than you may recognize. I just, you know, when I was putting this together tonight, the whole time I'm thinking, I don't want to say it on the air, poop.
Ooh, naughty.
Oh, Lord. But I'm sure that it's been a roller coaster ride, and I have a program that's running right now that my darling chiropractor, who I may kill, started that runs from around 3 in the morning. It's like a damn computer, you know, when you run your computer virus, you know, on your computer, mm-hmm. and it scans the computer. Well, it's pretty much like that. At 2:40 every night, I wake up. And I'm like, oh, my God, here it comes. And it's like a train. I can actually feel it coming.
Is he defragging you?
Pretty much, yes. And it is unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. And I just keep thinking, I wonder if he could revise it so that I could get some sleep or anything. And I've tried everything. I've tried melatonin. I've tried this. Seriously, nothing helps. And last night, though, I actually did get some sleep. But it's been a humdinger. And so basically, you know, we're all running this stuff. We're running it, you know, as we need to. He really felt that he was helping me out by running it at night. Which made me kind of, I feel like the proverbial guinea pig. So I didn't have to run it during the day when I'm working.
At least be awake when you're working, then, wouldn't you?
I know. Well, you know, I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh when I think about how silly that is. So, oh, Lord. So, anyway, I have an announcement to make because it's so exciting. And this is a big one. Because these beings are huge. I mean, there is something so big, and it's connected between my son, these babies coming in, and myself, and, of course, my granddaughter that's going to have them. It's not like they're not included, you know. But my son was waiting for me downstairs after my last session on Monday, and he said, call your granddaughter. And, of course, I got nervous because I knew she was pregnant. And I said, what's wrong? He said, you just need to talk to her. He couldn't even form a sentence. So I called her, and she said, Grandma, I was spotting, and I went to the doctor, and they scoped me, or they did a, you know, whatever they do with them. And she said, there's two sacs. And she said, one of them's an alien. I mean, this is very funny, and you have to understand her husband's a scientist, and you know, there's one part of her that's aware of all of this and seems to know it, and there's another part of her that runs the other way. It's just very funny. So they both, they have
this. Talk about a manifestation.
talk about what?
Manifestation. She's got one that's an alien. You said there's one part of it that runs the other way.
Well, that's very interesting. Good point. Thank you, Veronica. So there was some, when she told me, I was so excited, I couldn't, and then I realized that my aunt, doesn't matter, I realized where the twin streak came from, and it was very bizarre because my aunt she was pregnant with twins, but only gave birth to one, and the other stayed inside of her and created this tumor and blah, 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 that they took out in her 40s. I mean, she became, you know, she was in science books, so, you know, they were writing articles about her, and hadn't thought about it in umpteen years. What was really fascinating to me and interesting and exciting was the way that I responded when she told me. What was so fascinating is I couldn't speak either. And literally for an hour, Ricky and I just pretty much stared into space. And there is some quality to these. It's almost as though they're so powerful they had to come in as twins. And she's going to have these twins, Veronica, and a 2.5-year-old. So, oh, God, I know.
She's young.
Yeah, well, you know, so, yeah, but she also works and is completing her master's, and, oh, Lord. At any rate.
Well, like they say, everything's going faster, so I guess she wanted to get with the program. Huh?
I guess so. At any rate, very, and of course their last name is Olsen, and of course I keep thinking of the Olsen twins because she really wants girls. But to me it was, and it brought up this whole feminine line, our feminine line, and it was just really fascinating. And the distorted mother kind of thing, and I've been trying to track it and go back and say, you know, well, the distorted mother, my grandmother, my mother, you know, looking at this, and I didn't have any clue how to be a mother because I lived in 13 foster homes. I had no yardstick whatsoever, and I told the kids from day one, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. Because I couldn't remember anything because there were too many different families. So... So at any rate, I'm incredibly excited about this.
Congratulations, great grandma.
This will be my second and third time. Very, very, very excited. These beings, whoever they are, there is a definite soul recognition between myself, my son, and these children that are coming in, and it's huge. So very for me it actually made me ecstatic. And it gave me a reason to continue on. And I thought, wow, that's big. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially for me to be planning, I got to be here when they go to college. And so I'm thinking, what?
Got to live a long time.
I didn't really plan on doing that. So, but kind of all bets are off now. Anyway,
exciting.
I hope... It's thrilling, and you know, I kind of want to get back to the whole feminine rage thing because it's so important tonight. I hope everybody's being really good to themselves, probably not running to the doctor more than once a week thinking that you're dying. As they, you know, with some mysterious disease that nobody can find an answer to. So I wanted to, you know, Veronica, you and I have talked an awful lot about doing things around the mother, okay? Because yes. This is such a really big issue.
And it doesn't go away, hello?
No, it never goes away.
No, so.
It never goes away.
The paint pot. Dip your brush
the
in.
The what?
The paint pot. You dip your brush in it now and again.
Ah, okay. That's very funny. Well, and I think that some of us took it on in a grander fashion in that we have children who've continued to carry on the energy of the mother,
uh-huh.
i.e. personality of the mother, right?
Yep, you betcha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we both have one of those. And until we
and
can get
it.
And
that's pretty common, isn't it? I mean, that is very often the way it goes.
Well, as it relates to feminine rage, okay, where mm-hmm. I see it on both sides is I see, interestingly enough, those who are carrying feminine rage directed at the masculine will project that masculine rage onto their first male child. And then the male child will develop the attributes of the of not their father, but of the mother's father, continuing on this whole cycle. And I've actually seen this with clients, and I'm like, this is just too fascinating, especially where I deal with a lot of people very strong lineage because I have, again, they've been brought in because they're helping with the collective and they're helping to clear the nationality as well as the lineage itself. So those that I have that are really pure lineage, all the way back, you know, from different parts of the world, this is where it gets, it's much easier. It's not a 1,000-piece puzzle. I'm down to 100 pieces. It's much easier to put it together and to understand it. But the feminine rage piece, as it's surfacing right now, with the most extraordinary people who had very difficult childhoods, were powerful enough to override that, become incredibly successful in their fields, whatever those may be. And yet the rage is now surfacing. And they, in order to survive, learn to stuff, override, compartmentalize, whatever it was necessary so that they can move forward. We don't get to do that anymore. That rage now is looking for a way to break through. I mean, we're on the Mississippi at this point. It's going to break through somewhere. And I actually have seen it with, I have to be careful what I say on the air, but I've actually seen it where one particular client, it was laying into the work that they were doing. Not intentionally. But we can actually, see if I can, we know that if we carry certain energies, we carry a child, that child's going to be imprinted with those energies. Second chakra. If we have sex, we can imprint those energies. If we are working in people's energy fields, we can imprint those energies. This is where it's really showing, because it's being pushed up to the surface right now, it's really showing up. Have you encountered this? I'm just curious, Veronica, because
I'm actually mesmerized because when you and I have talked about this subject, it really interests me a lot. But I recently have gotten very close to a cousin, and we didn't know each other at all for many years till 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had a discussion in the hot tub recently about the way the feminine had come down through our lineage and embodied in either of us. We're coming at it from slightly different perspectives, but she'd gotten in touch with a need to be empowered over and how there was an anger underneath it. And I have had some of that. I don't know if I have it too much right now, but it's something that does come up. And we were linking back to aunts and great aunts and mothers and grandmothers and so on, and we were both absolutely mesmerized at how it's just in the lineage. And her daughter, who actually is vocal about being able to clear hers, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it was fascinating. We really got, we were excited because it was like, oh, we could break free from the lineage with all this, you know?
Again, in the beginning of the show, where I really honor everybody, understand that everybody that's listening to this show or is ever going to listen to it, you all took on exceptionally difficult things in this lifetime. Whether it was mother, father, could be grandparents, it could be molestation, it could be incest, it could be anything, okay? But you had traumatic childhoods with the goal in mind that through the process of healing it, you would have a greater impact on the collective. It's like every one of you wrote this script and said, hey, I'm volunteering, okay? And I've seen it with every nationality. I've seen it. It just never ceases to amaze me. And consequently, while you were writing that script before coming into the lifetime, it would make perfect sense that you would be willing to take on unusually big amounts in certain areas that you wanted to focus on, because everybody said, I'm going to take this piece, and I'm going to take this piece, and I'm going to take this piece. Feminine rage, however, is a major collective issue. And until we can heal it and clear it, hopefully without the volcano having to hit, which, you know, we don't have it. I can see all the women marching in Washington.
I just keep thinking as you're saying all that, I'm going, you know, when we feel our rage and we recognize it and we're glad to be recognizing it and we need it to be recognized, we're actually being able to pass on the potential freedom in that, aren't we? Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I had an interesting experience with a client. And just in getting to that point, okay, because of the way we're structured on this planet, where mom's love is given, it's supposed to be there because you're born through them, okay? And Lazarus has always said, if you are alive right now, you were loved good enough. You made it. You know, I love the philosophy because I think it's actually quite funny. Doesn't mean you're not damaged. It just means you made it. Dad's love is totally different. Dad's love is earned. And because of the projections that we use of goddess onto mom and God onto dad, okay, it's, the setup is so amazing as we take it out into our world and all the reflections in our world that are either masculine or feminine, whether it's politics, business, we've said this a million times, politics, business, you know, the military, money, you know, we can assign feminine, masculine energies to everything. We know pretty much what everything is. But it also affects our relationship with all of those. And yet...
How could you not feel feminine rage if the authority is male in the archetype?
Well, of course, absolutely. But now, wait a minute. What's interesting, because I don't know about you, but I have seen this over and over again in my life, people seeking parental approval. And they will seek it. It doesn't matter if they're 60 or 70, still trying to seek parental approval.
Mm-hmm.
And for girls, they're always looking for daddy to love them because dad's love is earned.
We have to earn his love?
Absolutely. Dad's love is not a given. It's earned. Always. Always. Dad's the breadwinner. You know, he's the hunter, the gatherer. You know, kids are lucky to get his attention at all, even if it's a smack in the head. You know? I mean, we're more civil now, but basically, okay, we're talking the same thing here. And so therefore, what I have seen with some people is that if their fathers did all kinds of, weren't there for them, didn't support them, didn't give to them, didn't, weren't honorable, blah, 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 but were in their lives now, it was easier to let their fathers slide than to confront their fathers with what they really know and feel about them. Okay? To let it slide, even knowing that the projection of that father was going on to one of their children.
I guess I don't understand. I mean, it's easier just to...
In other words, they would rather not jeopardize the relationship that they have with the father, regardless of whether it's a little on the shammy side, okay? But it's palatable. It's that difficult because the child and the adolescent doesn't want to do it. The child and adolescent are still seeking dad's approval. Now, this is a fascinating case to me, and I think it's of great interest to all of us. I mean, I've seen women, my daughter included, who wanted a relationship more than anything in the world, that their whole life was driven by that energy. And once they were in the relationship, you would see the rage. Once they had control, they're in, then you would see the anger start coming up that they had, the feminine rage start showing up. And the control and so on and so forth. Fascinating to me. Because they've never, and you know, if you were to ask my daughter and many other women, oh, no, I've dealt with my dad issues. No, you haven't.
Well, you and I know that's a line we all use, but, who's to say it isn't going to come up again next week?
Absolutely. We're going to deeper levels and deeper levels and deeper levels because we're going to collective levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's feminine rage at absolutely the masculine. I mean, well, women still aren't emancipated on our planet. So, of course, there's collective feminine rage.
I like what you said. I just want to go back to something you said, that rage rises and the control. I think that's how I see it, is the control, taking the upper hand in the relationship.
Yes.
and the control.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately then becomes punishing.
And control is anger, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it's fear. If you have a need to control, you're operating on it. There's a fear of loss in there somewhere, a fear that you're not good enough, a fear of loss. To me, I usually say that is coming out of childhood somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that control piece, that anger, that rage, they seem to go hand in hand. And I don't know if you've ever seen a man come out of a relationship like that, but they're absolutely shell-shocked. If they're on the receiving end of that feminine rage, because it's so big and so deep on the planet right now, that if they're the recipient, they are usually energetically blown to smithereens.
Mm.
And if I have any been listening to this tonight, I'm sure you'll agree.
It's not funny for them, really, but it is part of
No, it's not funny, and I'm not taking it lightly. Believe me, I totally understand. We're playing with these energy. No, not to be disrespectful here. What we're really trying to do is get to the bottom line to help people be able to recognize what they're feeling and why and what still needs to be healed. Are you really, as spiritual beings, we've all been guilty of this. I've already dealt with that. Okay, I hear this from my daughter all the time. I've dealt with that. I'm all healed. Really?
Well, Cole calls that spiritual narcissism.
I'm sorry? What Cole calls it spiritual narcissism?
Yeah. When I interviewed him, I've got several clients who have been mad ever since.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because... in a way, from a spiritual perspective, it's very easy to look at these things and understand them and make excuses and say, look, well, they were going through this and that and so on and so forth. But getting down to the real emotions, getting in touch with our child's feelings, that little girl or little boy, that adolescent little girl or boy, and really giving them voice, we don't do, because that's too freaking painful. I've been down this road. I know what that's like. I thought I was going to die. I had a therapist say to me, well, you need to write a letter to your mother. And I was like, oh, I've dealt with spiritual narcissism. I've dealt with that. And she said, no, you haven't. I said, of course.
Did you write the letter? Did you go
through? This is a cute story. I wrote the letter, and Kathleen, who some of you know from the intensive, my darling Kathleen, she came over and I said, oh, here's my letter, read it. She would glance through it, boom, 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 and she said, good try. And she had the same problem, is that because we have a spiritual awareness, we're able to look at things and say, well, they this and this. But getting really in touch with the true emotions, that's a whole other level.
Sure is.
Oh, my God.
She could at the time.
Huh?
She did the best she could with what she knew at the time.
Exactly. And, you know, I forgave her, and I would send her love every day, and blah, 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 blah. Bottom line was, okay?
The belly.
Oh, phew. And it took me 7 freaking days to write that letter. I thought I was going to die. Working with my child and my adolescent, I fell in love with my child. I mean, to me, she's my idol. Unbelievably powerful little being. Well, she wasn't even little. I mean, what she overcame and what she did to survive was amazing to me. And so I take care of her today. I don't give her enough time to play. That's the one thing she's pissed about. But getting down to that, and I wrote that letter with the intention of mailing it, which was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. When I got to the post office, because I was sending it certified, I pulled the car over and called my therapist, and I said, I was crying, and I said, I don't need to mail it. I'm done. I literally have wrung out so much emotion, there's nothing left to me. It's like, I'm done. And she said, you got it. And I said, oh, God. I almost died in the process, but yeah, I got it. I literally was crawling around on my hands and knees. It was the hardest thing I ever did.
Wow.
So, at any rate, getting to whatever it takes to get to those, to give voice, to get to those emotions. And people, if you've got issues with mom and dad, and we all know God and Goddess, because they're connected, you cannot separate them. That's part of the game of Earth. And it's a big game. It's a fascinating game. And the longer I'm here, the more I see it as the game. You know, the puzzle pieces with the box. I mean, the team plays with me with really funny stuff lately. You know, it's like... So, getting to that point and seeing what we're all walking through right now and how amazing it is, but dealing with the rage, whether it's masculine rage or feminine rage, I don't care where it's coming from, whoever's listening to the show tonight, get in touch with it. I've got a man right now going through masculine rage, and I was so upset because I got a call from another country. And I'm listening, trying to write the show, and I'm listening to her and what's going on and so on and so forth. When I came up in the healing room, the team showed me what was going on with him, and I knew he had all this stuff in his liver. And it's all coming out now in explosive rage in every direction. We could never clear it out of the liver. It was just jam-packed. A lineage issue, okay, a Middle Eastern lineage issue, lots of other things around this. All of a sudden, things are not working in his life in any direction, and he had, and still does, a very big reach. But literally, the rage is so bad that, you know, his family doesn't want to be around him. So they send him off to other parts of the world. And
a big backyard.
Yeah, very big backyard. And when I came upstairs and they were explaining to me, and they're showing me his liver, and I'm like, oh, no wonder. He wouldn't clear it. The nicest person in the world. Everybody loved him until the rage started coming up. And, of course, everything in every business he's got is going to hell. Nothing is working. So, you know, my advice to everybody is to deal with the rage so that your life doesn't have to get destroyed in order to force you to deal with it. Because I will say our higher selves and our guides aren't fooling around here, because this is absolutely, I mean, this is universe. They're literally, we're being squeezed, you know, like Malcolm in the Middle, the family of, you know, like four boys and a mother and father, very funny program. And they're trying to get to the end of the toothpaste, and, you know, they jump off the toilet, you know, to get part and so on. And the father finally takes the last of the toothpaste, the tube out, and runs over it with his car to get the last little bit and says, I don't understand what the kids are complaining about. That's where we are. I mean, we literally, we just don't want to be under the wheels of the car. So, and for all of you, I mean, believe me, this is not pontificating. I'm just sharing what I see, and Veronica, certainly you see it too. We've talked about this a million times. Getting to the feminine rage on all levels.
The feminine rage direction might be the catapult it takes to even out the male-female anyway.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. You can't embrace your masculine if you're carrying rage at it. You just can't do it. You'll try to own and control it, but you won't embrace it. There's a big difference. You want to own one. Let me bring the team in. I know they're... That's terrible. All right. Well, we hope that all of you are not having liver pain. All right. Feminine rage. There's a very interesting issue that we want to share with you as we look out at all of you who are listening tonight. And that's the reluctance to admit that you've got it. That somehow spiritually it makes you less. And we want to say to everyone, this is not the case. Admitting that you carry it, that you own it, and working with it to heal it, to lift it, to raise it, to release it, to clear it in any fashion that you can, is the highest level of spiritual involvement. Being honest enough to say, yes, of course I've got it, I'm a woman. Or of course I've got masculine rage, I'm a man. There's a flip side to this. All the responsibilities that men have carried for thousands of years to provide for their families and their wives and go out there every day, whether they killed their prey or went to a job. And especially now with the changing going on your planet, there's a man out there that feels totally comfortable about what he's doing, where he's going. Lots of fear coming up. Foundation shaking, and nothing in front of you is solid, and nothing behind you is solid anymore. You're literally being forced to live in one moment at a time. One moment at a time. Now, these energies that you're all experiencing, we know they're difficult, people. And you know a lot of people that have left the planet that weren't willing to walk through all of this, not because they're weak and wimpy, but because they said, no, I've done this on other planets. It's not very much fun. I'm complete. And those of you that decided to remain knew it was going to be a bumper ride. For many of you, you've been doing work for a lot of years. Clearing, cleaning, healing. There have been lots of tools out there to assist you. Always good to go deeper, to look deeper. Get a flashlight, look in the corners, take your broom, get out the cobwebs. Look at your childhood. Look at your grandparents. Look at your lineage, both sides. All right. Is it possible that I'm carrying this piece or that piece? Wonderful, Veronica, that you had the opportunity to visit with was it, a cousin?
Yes.
All right. Beautiful opportunity to be able to share your experiences coming together and saying, well, this is the piece I got. What did you get? Well, you know, how much damage did you get to carry? Here's my bricks, you know, where are you? Right?
And the commonalities, that was the exciting part.
Of course.
Not just of, the, it was just of the reactions that we were all embodying, which we think we can get rid of because we see them, you know?
Well, and you've had them reflected to you again. This is the universe giving you feedback, Veronica. And we want to say to all of you, if you're on track with the directions you're going for the purpose of healing, the universe is going to be giving you feedback, all right, whispers, letting you know, pay attention how quickly things will show up in your life to confirm I'm on the right path, I'm in the right direction. Yes, all right, there's something over here. I can feel it, I can see it. And because you're in such a compressed period, it's going to come at you much more rapidly than you're used to. So take your day, every day, spend a little time in the evening or in the morning, some of you are fresher in the morning, to review the day before. What went on yesterday? What were the experiences of some of you? It's actually difficult to gather the experiences of the day before because it's moving so quickly. For some of you, you may need a notepad. Oh, God, that happened. I don't forget that one. Oh, somebody said that. Oh, write that down. I don't have time to deal with it now, but tomorrow morning I'll sit and think about it. That's how quickly it's moving for all of you. This is an extraordinary time. Where you get, oh, the chapel and her puzzle pieces, all right. You're getting little pieces of the puzzle, is what you are getting. And when you put them all together, you're going to giggle. And you're going to see in a way that you knew it all the time. You just forgot that you were the creators of this grand experience and experiment. And people, you're doing wonderfully. It may not feel like it right now, but you're doing wonderfully. Because your intent is there, your commitment is there to make the changes, to discover, to unearth, and to honestly look at these things without blame. Because blame is not going to get you where you want to go. When you're through this lifetime and you recognize who played what role, how they agreed to it, and so on and so forth, you'll recognize there really is no one to blame. Now, we don't want to conflict with you processing your rage. Understand, the rage was based on circumstances and occurrences. Get the rage out. without the blame. Because if you don't, some of you are going to end up with illnesses, and you don't want to do that because the pressure is too great. When we talk about the pressure, we're talking about the energies that are coming in, that are influencing you right now, literally designed. It's like putting pressure around a pimple. You push on it hard enough, long enough, eventually the heads are going to pop out. Not a pretty picture, but an accurate one. You understand? Does that make sense, Veronica?
Yes, it sure does. And unfortunately, we have to end shortly, a couple of minutes.
All right. Well, you go ahead and tell about your shows.
Well, Galexis is coming on next Tuesday. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, wonderful.
Your
friends. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. So that's 8 o'clock Tuesday night. And then Thursday, I was doing a work on surrender, clearing and surrender to make room. So I think we'll continue with that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It seems that we have to surrender at the top speed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Surrender is an excellent idea. Untighten those fists. All right. All right. How much time do we have, Veronica?
Well, you've probably got, I would say 2 minutes.
All right.
I never know. They'll hook us off sometimes, so it looks like 2 minutes.
All right. Now, we would very much like to work with all of you tonight. And we don't want to make it exclusively about feminine rage. We'd like to make it about feminine and masculine rage for those of you males that are listening. We would like to come in and work with you in the dream time. And help to identify the places where you hold it, the situations that created it. Now, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning, all right, with a written list pinned to your nightie. However, it will start dropping in like that over a period. For some, less than a week. For some, possibly 2 weeks. But the pieces will pay attention. Now, it will be us, your higher self, your guides, your unseen friends. And when we say us, there's many of us. So you, some of you are more aligned with some other areas of us than you are with other areas of us. We try to expand that idea so that you don't get too narrow. We love you. We are here to assist you in every way that we can. And it's important that you know that. And we honor you. All of you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. We don't mind the dogs or the cats or any of the animals. We love them joining. We love them as well. That's just your dog concurring. Yes, we love you too.
Yes.
All right. We look forward to working with you in the dream state, all of you. Some of you, we already know we can hear you, are going to call us in for a couple of nights, and that's all right too, if that makes you feel better, that maybe you think you've got more on your plate than others. That's all right too. We find that very humorous and lovable. We are not critical of that at all. We send to all of you our total, complete, unconditional love. And we want you to remember there are miracles coming in everywhere right now. Because you're going through all of this, do not close your mind to all of the amazing possibilities that are coming at you from every direction. As you're moving through this very condensed time, very exciting things, sitting just outside of your peripheral vision, waiting to hop in. So don't let doom and gloom get you sidetracked here. This is not about doom and gloom. It's about being willing and being honest. We love you all so very, very much. And you, Veronica, and the dog, and Bob, and Beth, wherever he is. Until we speak with all of you again in this format. Namaste.
Namaste. Ooh. Okay.
We still on, Ronnie? I can hear
yes,
you.
We are.
Oh, good. All right, everyone, I love all of you so much. Just remember, we're all in the same thing. So,
and I'm mad about it.
No. Well, that's fine, too. If you decide to be mad, it's okay, too. Just remember when you get those weird aches and pains that move from side to side within an hour, you're not dying. I swear you're not. But it really is a bizarre time. And it's a wonderful time. I'm thrilled to be on the planet with all of you. I have amazing respect for everybody, yourself included, Veronica and Bob. And very exciting journey right now.
Well, now with your good news, we know you're going to last a while.
I got to be here.
You betcha. Good news.
Yes, this is big stuff, absolutely. And yes. It's interesting, you know, contrary to normally you think about holding the energy for the children, I feel them holding energy for me, which
Yay.
I think is really fascinating. I know. I'm thrilled. It's a whole new way of receiving.
The children shall lead us, right?
And the children shall lead us, no question about it. I love you, everybody. Remember, a piece of you is in Veronica and I, and a piece of us is within you, and it can be no other way because we really are all one in such a big way. Good night, everybody. Night, Ronnie. Love you.
You too. Good night, Jackie. Night, everyone.
Night.